Dorothy went to us riding on a twister. I don't know what to
do. We don't have to do Yankee Doodle. You can pick
no, we have song. To because we got to talk about it. Okay. Yeah, Dorothy went to us riding on a twister. Stuck a scarecrow. Stuck Toto in her basket and Oscar's with Dylan and Andre.
Welcome to
Oscast, folks.
You may be asking, why such an old-timey song?
And you might be asking, why didn't you do the other one? Well, here you go. I'm a listener of Oscast, an Oz freak do or die. A real live nephew of Andre and Dylan, born on Oscast of July. There you go. There you go.
People don't talk about that enough. There's two Yankee Doodles.
There's two Yankee Doodles, and you might be asking, why two? That's what we're asking.
Hey, why use two medals for currency?
We're going to get to that. If I was the president,
yeah.
Something I might say, if I was running for president.
Also not the president.
Let's say, if I was running for president, something I might say is I might say, Mr. Chairman and gentlemen of the convention, I would be presumptuous, indeed, to present myself against the distinguished gentleman to whom you have listened, if this were a mere measuring of abilities. But this is not a contest between persons. This is just what I would say.
No.
The humblest citizen in all the land, when clad in the armor of a righteous cause, is stronger than all the hosts of error. I come to speak to you in defense of a cause as holy as the cause of liberty, the cause of humanity. And if you're interested, if you're like, whoa, that's interesting. I want to know about that. Well, let's just say that's the opening of the Cross of Gold speech. William Jennings Bryan. And if you want to hear the whole thing, it's on the Patreon.
Yes.
The whole thing. I'm reading the whole thing on the Patreon. It's 50 minutes long, more or less. I'll read it real slow. So it's its own episode.
I was Googling him because I was hoping that he was be from Kansas or something, but he's from Illinois, and he served as a representative for Nebraska. So, no dice there.
Well,
but we will get to bimetallism a lot.
We got to talk about, there's two Yankee Doodle Dandies. What's up with that?
I don't know, and it's weird that they're both just referred to as Yankee Doodle Dandy, because they're very different songs.
One is Yankee Doodle, one is I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, I guess.
Yeah.
That sucks. Fuck you!
Well, it's like, you remember that song that they sing on the last episode of Nathan For You? I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas. Come and watch me do my stuff.
We're giving them free songs here.
I think there was, like, I guess Yankee Doodle, maybe that was, like, a political thing. Maybe you could identify as that.
I think the macaroni thing I've heard, that is, like...
That was, like, a feather.
That's, like, oh, that's fashion.
Yeah.
Yankee Doodle's fashion. Yankee Doodle predates the American Revolutionary War. This is boring. This is boring.
Let's get to book one. Let's get off Yankee Doodle.
We're doing book one.
This is probably the biggest episode of the pod yet far.
I'm very excited. We're gonna lock in. We've got a great schedule for you.
Tell them the schedule because it's a good one.
I've been asked to edit out Andre's burps. There might be an awkward silence there because I had to.
Who's asked you to do that?
My brother.
Your brother?
He said, "Please edit out Andre's burps."
Why would he say that? That's part of it.
It is part of it. Maybe I'll leave him in.
Leave him in.
You gotta be a true Oz, dude. You gotta be a true Oz freak for this. But so we're, as always, we do our intro song. We do a different song every week. That's part of it. I make up
a
song.
We did two this time. Actually, three if you count.
We did three.
Daddy from Dumas.
Then we talk about the Oz of the week.
Yeah.
This week we're talking book one, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
By L. Frank Baum.
The first book in a long line of 1 million books.
What started it all.
This is really the one.
Yeah.
This is the one. So there's a lot riding on this to be good. And let's just say it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. For a kid's book, it's not bad.
I had fun.
It's entertaining.
I breezed through it. I was like, oh, that was cute.
Yeah.
I've got thoughts. Then we're going to do our famous segment, Osberg. We're going to rank this on the Osberg.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty high, but maybe not too high.
We'll see.
Maybe not too high.
Stay tuned to find out how high
we're doing our meters, as always. We did donkey meter. We didn't forget to do that last week. Definitely didn't forget.
And then, of course, we got the bimetallism meter this
week.
Yeah,
bimetallism meter. It's going off the charts!
It's off the charts in this one.
We couldn't talk. We couldn't do it last week because we didn't want to spoil it on steam engines. We're going to have a couple of new meters. The bimetallism one, of course. We're doing more Osments. Oz comments. We got a lot of book reviews to look at. Some Goodreads. Stupid people.
Some fucking dummies reading this as adults. There's all the, we'll get to it, but there's all these middle-aged people that are like, this book doesn't make any sense, as if it's not.
This is a 100-year-old book for kids. I didn't like it. I'm 45.
I saw one comment where it was this old man, and he was like, I read this for my book club, and it sucked. And I'm like, could you imagine being a group of old men reading
it,
talking about it?
You gotta be reading, like, The Fugitive book or whatever.
Anything about by James Patterson or Michael Crichton.
Crichton, I was gonna say. I think I got some Crichton over there. I think I got Airframe by Crichton somewhere. It's not important. We'll talk about it in the Wickedly Talented Michael Crichton section.
On the Patreon.
On the Patreon. Yeah, we do a Michael Crichton pod on the Patreon. We've got a special new segment for you this week. It's very exciting. It's a surprise segment.
Surprise segment. It's good.
Surprise to me as well. Our famous fortune cookie segment, Fortune Cookie of Oz.
Yeah.
And then we have our wickedly talented performances. That's the checklist. We're going to hit them all for you this week. We're locked in.
We got a schedule and we're sticking to it.
You know what? This is probably going to be the best episode of the show.
It has to be.
It's going to be the one I've absolutely done the most research for. But let's dive into this book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. I've got like a lot of sporadic notes here. We can just go through all of them.
Yeah, I got the same stuff. I just to start it off, I think something that immediately struck me from the beginning is how like poor Dorothy and her family is.
She broke.
Like in like the movie, it's kind of like, oh, she's like kind of getting older and she's a little bored with Kansas or whatever. Here it's like Kansas sucks.
It's dry as dirt.
It's gray. It's dry. Her family lives in like a one bedroom house.
And they're like, there's like the second bedroom is under the floor.
Yeah, well, the second bedroom is a storm cellar.
Yeah.
It's a fucking hole they go in so they don't die from all the tornadoes.
I'm pretty sure Dorothy's like, the only thing that makes me happy is Toto the dog.
Yeah.
Who like, it's not like Toto does nothing for the rest of the book, but Toto is like, very like, I'm just saying, I'm doing nothing pretty much.
Yeah, there was this one section where they talk about Aunt Em. Let's see, I'm just gonna read it here. The sun and wind had changed her too. They had taken the sparkle from her eyes and left them a sober gray. They had taken the red from her cheeks and lips. They were all gray also. She was thin and gaunt and never smiled.
I think that part of the book is like almost the most evocative in the beginning. Like Baum really settles down into like just doing fantasy.
Yeah.
Like kind of once Dorothy like is on her way in Oz, but that beginning is like kind of like, whoa.
It's also like the most like real writing in the book. Like after this, it's like stuff happens and we don't really dwell on it. That's the most like descriptive. And
yeah.
Like,
he's really like using some imagery there, but the rest of the book, it's kind of just like Dorothy's walking down a road
there in a field. And it's very nice.
She called the mice. The mice came. She said, can you help me, mice? And the mice said, yes.
Yeah.
That happens a lot in the book.
Yeah, there's very little conflict, but also a lot. But, like, they just don't read it as conflict. They're just like, oh, well, whatever. That's fine. We'll keep going.
We'll get to all that. Some other notes. Dorothy falls asleep in the house like while she's in the twister. I just thought that was funny. She's just like, oh, I'm fucking flying around. I'll take a nap.
Time to go to bed. I'm tired.
Couple of differences from the movie. We'll get to all of these, but the Good Witch is not Glinda.
No.
The Good Witch is just like an old lady who sees Dorothy and is like, I'm going to give you a little kiss.
Yeah.
That'll protect you. They say Oz is like uncivilized. They're like, oh no, this.
I picked up on that too. Yeah.
They're like, there's the civilized world, which is just like the regular Earth. Like, it's not even a different Earth. It's, yeah. They're just like, yeah, that's probably over there. And then we're uncivilized, so we're kind of cut off, I guess.
There's this one section where they kind of describe like what Oz is, and they say it's like surrounded by great desert. Like, it seems like what Baum is getting at, because I've always read it as like almost like an alternate dimension or something. But in this book, it's like, no, it's like a far away, like exotic, uncivilized and heavy scare quotes.
Like, it very much reads as like Lost World, like, yeah. H.G. Wells, like, yeah. Almost a site, like an Atlantis type,
yeah,
place,
yeah, yeah.
Where like Dorothy's just like, I guess I landed here. But then she keeps calling it fairy country.
Yeah, that's
in
true
like
too.
This and other books. So like, it is like a magic place.
Yeah,
it's interesting because like, it very much seems like, and actually this is true because I've read the second and part of the third book now. You can leave Oz and get to the real world just by, like, just like, going. Yeah, like, just you just, moving. Like, you don't even need to, like, do a magic thing. They like, fly to the real world. They just, like, get a flying machine, basically, and fly to the real world. That's in the second book. But, yeah, so Oz is, like, just kind of its own. It's kind of just, like, its own little magic spot.
Yeah, it's like El Dorado or something.
Yeah, but, like, kind of you get the inclination that, like, it's supposed to exist. Like, somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in Antarctica.
Because they have
place.
Physical, yeah.
Yeah. Scarecrow is 1 day old. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that he was, Dorothy found him and he was just like, I'm 1 day. I don't know anything. Bach is here. Bach shows up for one page.
Bach does show up for one page.
I don't know if some of our keener listeners recognize Bach from Wicked.
That disgusting little man, Ethan
but
Slater.
But in the movie and the play Wicked, Bach plays a different role than he does in this. Yeah. In this, he's more of just like an old man Dorothy hangs out with for like 5 minutes. Hmm. He's just like, come to my house, eat some bread. All right, I'll see you later.
Another thing, the Munchkins are enslaved.
The Munchkins are enslaved.
I still have a little bit of difficulty parsing out what exactly their labor is. I think it might be agricultural, but they make it very clear. They're like, you freed us from slavery by the Wicked Witch.
Yeah. It's one of the weird things is, like, there is a little bit of lore in this, like a small amount.
Yeah.
But for the most part, Baum doesn't really touch Greater Oz, like,
no,
at all.
And again, because he didn't think he would need to.
He was just like, there's 4 witches, and there's 1 city in the middle. And the 4 countries are all the same, pretty much.
And they got whatever.
They're different colors, and they each have a witch. But beyond that, there's, like, not to say there's nothing interesting in Oz, but, like, he does not put any effort into being, like, and then this is the world.
It's
building,
not George,
like,
R. R. Martin style. Like,
absolutely
not.
Yeah. It's not, and it's also like not Tolkien either.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Tolkien was 40s, and this is like 40 years before that, right?
Yeah.
So like, look, obviously the writing is developed. This is much more for kids.
Yeah.
But like, if you were just basing it off this, like the world of Oz, is fucking nothing
barren.
In it. It's just, like, some towns and 1 city.
And this gets back to this other thing I said where I feel like there's, like, almost no conflict. Like, one of the most, like, memorable parts from the movie to me is that transition from, like, the Munchkin village into, like, that very, like, dark and, like, deeply evil forest. The forest is just a normal-ass forest in this.
Yeah, there's, like, some, like, trees that come to life, and then they're just like, we gotta walk past these trees, I think.
Yeah. Like, they just kind of avoid all God.
They avoid every obstacle. They're just like, hey, obstacle camp. Like, 1,000 bees are coming to kill us. And they're like, Tin Man, can you kill those?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, done.
Yeah,
it's
got
done.
Him.
It's over.
It takes like 30 seconds. Like, it doesn't feel like anything is difficult for them ever.
No. Like, even when they're like imprisoned, Dorothy is like, I guess I'll dump this water on the witch.
Yeah.
And it happens to kill her.
And then she's like, all right, I guess that's fine. Let's leave. The Wicked Witch of the West is in 1 chapter of this book. 1 single chapter. She's not the main villain.
No.
They go through their whole adventure without being bothered by her at all. They get to the wizard. The wizard's like, can you go kill the
Maybe
witch?
This is a hot take. I'd venture to say the villain is the fucking wizard.
Yeah, but they like are kind of like chill with the wizard.
Yeah,
but
that's true too.
And so I was like, I guess he's like kind of the villain, but like...
I guess there isn't a villain. I guess
there's no villain. That's why I'm like, it's not a good versus evil tale. No. It's not really like it. Well, there's something. There's a very strong underlying theme, which we'll get
which we'll get to.
We got to get to it quick. There's a lot of information here, but one of the things but there's not like a big theme that I would say. Like,
well, especially I don't mean to just keep referencing the movie, but when the movie is very much like. It has this moral, right? That there's no place like home, whatever. Like, you know, like, it's okay to grow up, but always remember where you came from. There's, like, no lesson here besides the fucking bimetallism shit.
Yeah, and, like, there is... I get, like, there's no place like home, but, like, Oz isn't interesting enough...
For her to, like...
She doesn't really enjoy it. She just keeps being like, I gotta go home.
Yeah.
And then for them to be like, Dorothy, you actually wanted to go home the whole time. It's like, no, that's what she wanted. Yeah. That's what she kept saying. And it would be more interesting if she was like, I kind of want to stay now. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, she's just like, yeah, I'll go home. Okay, that works. And then she's like, I'm so happy I'm home.
It's weird. It's very weird. Also, the slippers, we got to address the slippers are silver.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's how they are, like, in Wicked.
Too, yeah.
Because.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the ruby slippers, I know that this is, like, kind of a fun fact. They were only ruby in the movie.
Yeah, I assume for like color purposes.
Yeah, and then because the ruby slippers like have their own rights to the movie, other adaptations will take like the silver slippers instead.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, well, that's the Garland movie.
But again, I feel like she doesn't really do anything with any of that. Like,
she doesn't do, and also, I mean, real quick, I want to talk about the flying monkeys.
Yeah.
She gets a monkey crown that she can call the monkeys for, and she calls them three times, and they're just like, can you bring me over here?
Yeah.
Like three different times? And they're like, yeah, sure, I guess. That's also one of the only times we get any lore. Yeah. We get some backstory from that about, I want to say, Gaylette and Quilala.
Yeah.
Who are a monkey. They were like the old rulers of Oz. Yep. They created the monkey crown. But I was like, I guess that's it. That's all the lore we get, really.
And especially because, like, again, like, there is some thought put into this, like, geographically, even, like, politically, like, there's, like, the fucking different witches and stuff, but it's all just so... He seems almost repulsed by the idea of, like, doing more stuff in this world.
He, like, is just, like, fucking whatever. Like, yeah. Baum, like, it feels... Like, I hate to say this, because, like, it's his series, but, like, especially in this book, it does not feel like he cares about Oz at all.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I haven't started the second book yet, but just based off of what you've told me about it, the second book feels almost like he's just like, fuck it, I'm doing whatever I want.
But I'm like, the second book is much more of like, there's a story to it.
Yeah.
There's a bit more arc to the characters.
Okay.
This book, and the whole thing takes place in Oz for the most part.
Okay.
This book is more like, Dorothy goes to a weird place, but like, I'm not going to define how it's weird. It's just like... She goes to fairy tale land.
Yeah.
And, like, some weird stuff happens. And then that also,
this is a very dumb thing to say, but it reminds me of... Have you ever read Dante's Inferno?
I haven't. I know we've talked about it before.
Yeah, in Dante's Inferno, that's how the whole story is stuff just kind of happens to Dante, and we get, like, no reaction. Like, there's this one scene that's, like, seared into my memory where Dante goes to, like, a forest of trees, and every tree is a person who's committed suicide. And he finds his mom there, and he just doesn't talk to her. They're just like, oh, there was your mom. And he's like, oh, okay. And they leave.
And, like, I know writing styles change. This is a 125-year-old book. But I'm like, damn, if you publish this today, everyone would just be like, what the fuck?
Even like, for kids. Like,
again, the Munchkin Village is just, like, some, like... They're just like, there's some houses with round roofs. Yeah,
that's like the weirdest you could get is they wear blue and their houses are round.
I want to talk about colors a little bit.
Mm.
The Emerald City. The Emerald City is described as having green marble, green emeralds, green glass, green sunlight, and everyone has green skin.
Yeah.
Everyone in the Emerald City has green skin. But you know who doesn't? The Wicked Witch. She does not have green skin. She has one eye and not green skin.
It's a big flipperoo.
It's weird. They also have green candy, green popcorn, green lemonade, and green pennies.
Yep.
Only a little later on in the book, when they go back to the Emerald City after they kill the Wicked Witch.
It's all fake.
They find out, oh, The Emerald City's not fucking green at all.
It's all bullshit. People are just wearing green glasses.
They're like, yeah, you have to put on green glasses before you come in so everything looks green. So everything's just not green.
Yeah, everything's a hoax of a pshaw.
And it's all like the wizard just being like, yeah, I don't know. I guess everyone wanted it to be green, I guess. And I was like, what? It doesn't make sense at all.
The only thing I could think of is, again, it's part of the bimetallism shit where it's like
copper.
Well, where they're like, the value of a dollar isn't actually backed by anything. Like, they're like, it's fake. But this is something I've thought, I don't know, maybe we should just transition fully into bimetallism, but why is this children's book about bimetallism? Why would you make
a... Real quick, before we get to the bimetallism, I want to get to two more things. At one point it says everyone, they leave the Winkies after, the Winkies is where that Wicked Witch rules.
Yeah.
They leave the Winkies, and it's, at one point it just says, everyone made a pretty speech to the Winkies.
Oh, good.
And I was just like, didn't want to describe that at all. Didn't want to tell us what the speech was, I guess.
Didn't know if it was like, hey, you guys can take care of yourselves, or if it's like, go live with the Munchkins. Just
and
like,
that's the thing. He doesn't describe like any. He's just like, they made a speech, and then they left, and then they ate some food. Yeah. Sometimes it'll just be like, they ate food. And I was like, what? What food?
It almost feels like when you have to summarize a book that you didn't read.
It kind of feels like that. It feels like this is a summary of the movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got it wrong. You got the wrong people are green. Scarecrow becomes the king of the Emerald City.
Yeah, of course.
Glinda the Good is a witch, is a different witch. She's in the south. She's in it too. She comes in at the end. And she's like, Dorothy, go home. Just leave, please.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Glinda comes in. I forgot about that. She comes in right at the end and just be like, we're going to take you home because the wizard can't do it.
Yeah. At one point, they were like, oh, we got to walk over here. And they walk through like a China country. They're like, oh, this whole country's made of little porcelain people. Referenced in Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Mr. Joker in that place. Right. I just really like that. He was like, I'm Mr. Joker. I stand on my head.
Yeah.
Then they were just like, all right, let's leave.
There is a lot
that never comes up again.
I love those. There's one line when Dorothy first meets the Cowardly Lion where he's like sniffing Toto and he's like, what is this dog? What's it made of? And Dorothy goes, it's a meat dog. It's like, what?
Like what?
Like, that's the way. Why would you just say it's a dog?
There are also some jokes in this at one point. The line is like, oh, I'm scared. And the Tin Man was like, you might have heart disease.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that's a really good joke. But a couple other things. The lion becomes like king of the forest. They ask him to kill a big spider.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I went and killed a big spider. And I was just like, what is happening?
I do kind of like that.
Because, I do like it, but because, I was just like, it all feels so unconnected.
It's all unconnected, but I do like the idea of actually making them, like, do something for their fucking... Because in the movie, it's just like, you're fine now. Like, we gave you a shower, and now you're not scared of things.
Yeah, and then then they're like, well, I guess the Tin Man is the king of the Winkies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Surely he won't become a fascist and kill Scarecrow and rip his head off.
Surely. Surely he doesn't have a real name.
And it shan't be Nick Chopper.
Nick Chopper, which we know is his real name. Not mentioned in this book at all. And mentioned in the movie Steam Engines of Oz, and also is in the second book. In the second book, they're just like, the Tin Man, whose real name is Nick Chopper. And I was like, yeah, he's like a guy in this.
Yeah.
The Tin Man is like a regular guy who's like, he replaces his whole body with tin.
Yes, yeah, yeah, because he wants to... wed a munchkin.
But then they just call him Nick, they call him the Tin Woodman the whole time. Tin Woodman, not the Tin Man.
Yeah.
They took out the wood in the movie because it would be too confusing.
And we'll get to that
in
my section. Which you still don't know about, but boy, is it good.
We gotta get to bimetallism now.
So for those of you who aren't aware, bimetallism was a hot button political issue.
Was the most important issue of the election of 1896. That's why we opened with Across the Gold Speech and Yankee Doodle Dandy.
So bimetallism is the idea that U.S. currency should be backed by both silver and gold, as opposed to the gold standard, where it's backed by solely gold. And it's a huge part of this book.
Like, it is... we both read, like, an essay kind of delving into it. I saw it, like, on the Wikipedia, and I was like, that's fucking not true, obviously. Yeah. And then I was like, well, let me, like, read into it. And then I was like, oh, it's, this whole book is about bimetallism.
The fucking silver slippers, the
yellow brick road, the road of gold.
Yeah.
Silver slippers on the road of gold is how you save the world. Yeah.
Which is just puzzling. It'd be like if you wrote a kid's book now about, like, fucking child tax credits or something.
Yeah, like UBI.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. I'm like, I guess you could do those things. But, like, it's like if Harry Potter was about UBI.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Especially because it's such a fucking, like, issue of the time.
Yeah. Like, it was, very of the time. They were like, we need to be using gold and silver, not just gold.
And it was, it had, like, I mean, the Cross of Goldsmiths is a good example. It was, like, serious. Like if you were,
it determined who was president.
Yeah, people thought that, like, the nation would collapse if they didn't switch to bimetallism.
It's awesome. And it's interesting to think about. And so when you look at the book through this lens, there is a really good reading. I should check who the reading is by. I don't have it.
It completely uproots the book. It's like,
because, like, again, the book is obviously, like, not, like, about that, like, on its face. Like, it's about, like, oh, it's a fantasy book. Like, it's very fairy tale. Like, it's a light book that's, like, about a little girl going to a foreign
country. I almost
feel
like if that's, like, when they put, like, adult jokes in a kid's movie, like, do you think this is, like, bombing? Like, for all those parents reading this to your kid, I know you guys are hot on the issue.
Well, it might just be, like, something, I like, part of what the essay was saying is, like, it might have just been something he was thinking about that,
yeah,
like,
just
seeped
like a
in.
Subconscious.
Because the whole thing is, like, it was kind of, like, when you look at, like, the Tin Man, who was, like, a hardworking individual who then, like, got his body replaced by machinery, and it's kind of, like, about the American
automation,
industrialization in, like, the 1800s, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Sure. And then, like, the part about Kansas being, like, run down and all broken and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, that also makes sense of, like, they need to fix Kansas.
Yeah.
And then, like, the lion represented, in the article, like, the essay does a really good job of explaining it. The lion kind of represents, like, Brian, like, William Jennings Bryan. Because they're like, oh, he, like, felt like he was kind of not powerful, but, like, everyone else thought he was powerful, but he was very ineffectual. And I'm like, oh, he's also, like, dissing the one guy who was like, bimetallism's good.
Yeah.
But he's also like, but he didn't go far enough. And it's like, yeah, he didn't win.
He ran so many times, too.
He ran. Yeah, he ran a bunch of times, but he didn't win. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like, he was like a coward. He didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
Like, and then the scarecrow, I forget what the analogy was with the scarecrow, but
I don't remember
there's
yet.
Something.
You know who's a, this is much later, but you know who's a big gold standard freak? Nixon. Is that the second? I feel like,
my metalism!
I think that's the second episode in a row we've done a Nixon.
I do the Nixon boss Nash.
Yeah.
Little Jar Jar! Oh, did we talk about how Watto died last week?
Yes, we did talk about Watto dying last
week. Yeah, rip Watto.
But yeah, I think that's I think the bimetallism thing is like the only explanation for the Emerald City not being fucking green.
Yeah, it's like the green,
like the like our green money is fake.
It's all like false because it's not backed by anything true. It's all like a humbug, which is what they call the wizard, who's like, oh, I'm just doing tricks to distract you from the real problems.
Yeah.
And the wizard is kind of alluded to be, like, obviously he's a charlatan, but, like, he's kind of alluded to, like, be involved in politics back in Nebraska, right? And Nebraska.
Right, right.
Which is where Brian was fucking born,
right?
Right,
right. Yes, that's true. I completely forgot about that. I kept saying Kansas, but it's not Kansas in this. It's fucking, he's from Omaha.
Yeah. So it's like, again, there's more to it. I would honestly, I'm going to see if I can pull up the article. Parable, The Wizard of Oz, Parable on Populism by Henry Littlefield. This is a 1964 scholarly article. This is the one I would really recommend everybody reads because it's all about the populist movement. And it's all about bimetallism, which was a monetary policy. And, this article was the first time it was like, oh, it's not just like a random fairy tale. It's more about, like, the political leaning of the time.
God, it's wild that that used to be, like, a populist thing. Could you imagine today if, like, Trump supporters were, like, if those supporters of that dang Cheeto in the White House, 4 for 4, if they were, like, we need to fucking tax my butthole more.
The Scarecrow is the American farmer who made up the bulk of the populist party. They were ignorant, irrational, and had general muddled headedness.
Oh, that's why he doesn't have brains.
They had no brains. And they're like, oh, if I only had brains, I could solve this. And they're like, and this is Bomb being like, the solution is bimetallism.
Follow this bitch in the silver shoes on the gold road.
The gold and the silver. That's how you solve your problem. You idiot farmer.
Even a child could
do it. But it's also him being like, the Scarecrow is like, I need brains. Yeah. But he's actually smart the whole time. He's like the one who comes up with all the solutions.
Well, that's another thing. The fucking wizard gives them placebos.
So funny. He's like, here's some shit in your head.
Yeah. I guess he kind of does that in the movie, but he also, like he gives, like, the fucking, the lion, like, a diploma or whatever. Like, there is, like, actual stuff. And this one, he's just like, no, this is bullshit. You guys are stupid. You guys are dumb. Here's some shit that'll
trick you'll be idiots. But yeah, but part of the thing is he was like, oh, they're the ones producing all the, like, they're the ones doing all the labor, producing all the value, and they don't realize it.
Yeah.
And like, that's part of the Scarecrow too, is like, he's the one coming up with all the solutions, and then he's like, but I'm just a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's also him being like, just realize you're in control.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm like, Bomb is like,
it's a kind of a working class.
It's a argument. Very working class argument. He's very.
You have nothing to lose but your chains, said both Lenin and L. Frank Baum.
He could have been a communist. We'll get to it with the other ones. It's weird. Like, it is weird. There's not specifically a lot of hard information that, like, Baum, like, was a super big populism supporter. Yeah. But, like, there's, like, he wasn't very politically active, but, you know, I think the analogy and the allegory is strong enough. It makes a really good argument for it, and I believe it. I think it was true, but.
I feel like at that time, you pretty much had to be political if you were, like, anybody of note.
And he was writing. He was writing. Well. Okay.
Sorry, this is a post I just found on r/wicked called Wicked Seems Disrespectful to L. Frank Baum. I'm curious to see what they say. I saw a post online saying, oh, Wicked is the real story of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is just the propaganda version. And that seems ridiculously disrespectful to all the work L. Frank Baum did. It also just stole characters he made and just eviscerated the characterizations that he wrote. Has the original author, playwright, or director shown any love towards Baum?
No love for Baum?
No love for
L. Frank Baum? He named Elphaba after L. Frank Baum. That's a little bit of love.
The Wicked community is not happy that this guy is questioning their commitment to L. Frank Baum. They're saying that they're the real Baum heads and he doesn't understand.
I mean, I think it's an honest question, but it's stupid.
I also think that L. Frank Baum's reaction would be, I don't give a fuck.
He would be like, you went to the moon. to the moon.
Is that two ladies kissing?
What is happening? Well, honestly, we'll get to this in, do we get to it in this book at all? No, I think it's in the second book. The second book, things get weird in some ways.
Okay.
The third book, it continues that trend.
Okay. I think the second book does have some, like, feminism stuff in it. Like,
well, the second book is all, like, anti-feminist stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But then there's some stuff we'll get to that maybe a little ahead of its time. Maybe okay. Bob would be like, this is just what I wanted. No bimetallism, what the hell?
Look, they don't got bimetallism, but they got gay sex, so that's all I could ask for.
Oh yeah, I'm L. Frank Baum. I'm in the 70s now.
We still gotta get the ghost of L. Frank Baum on the pod.
We'll ask him what he thinks. When did he die?
1919. I just looked it up. In Hollywood, of all places.
In freaking Hollyweird, more like.
Yeah, in Hollyweird.
He died in L.A., 62 years old, couple of kitties, I don't know if he did any
porn.
Yeah, I don't think he did any porn. Died in LA.
What are we gonna give this book on the donkey meter?
Donkey meter. There's no donkey.
There's no donkeys.
No donkeys. Zero on that's the donkey meter.
That's another zero.
Zero. We're clean sweeping these donkey meters.
We're rolling zeros.
Donkey meter. We should rank it on the Osberg.
Right. It's gotta be the highest tier.
I don't know. Garland is the highest tier.
You think it's? But I put it in.
But I would. Is it the same level as Garland, or is it one below?
I put it on the same level. I don't think as many people have read the book as have seen the movie, but I think everyone who sees the movie knows it's based off a book. I believe.
Do you think so?
I think so. Even on the poster, I think it says like L. Frank Baum's.
Everyone knows the name L. Frank Baum. Also.
Yeah.
Like most people are like, oh, I recognize that name. It's a catchy name.
I'm pretty sure, especially at the time it came out, but I'd wager even today people are aware that it's based off a book.
I think it can be tier one.
Yeah,
I would say Garland and Wicked are tier one.
Yeah,
and like that's probably it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Tingle.
True. In Japan, yes. In Japan, Tingle's color-changing Tingle's Adventure of Love is. Probably tier one.
So this is rank one on the Osberg, up there with the Garland movie, which we'll get to maybe 100th episode.
Yeah, stay tuned for.
Dude, you know what next week is? 5th episode. You know what that means?
I don't.
What did we say? Every 5 episodes we're doing.
Oh, we're finally doing Oz.
The TV show next week. Buckle up
episode one. Episode one of the show Oz about an experimental prison.
Inside a prison. It's HBO's
Oz.
Answer to The Wire.
Which is also theirs. True. They did two, like, gritty crime shows.
Yeah. I'm working for HBO. I just did a shoot for HBO, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll Oz get on too. The Oz remake. I'll be like, reboot Oz. Call it Oz : Redemption.
Yeah. And I'll play Dorothy.
And I'll play J.K. Simmons.
Is he in it?
He's in it.
I know Edie Falco's in it. I'm a big Edie Falco head.
Is she Nurse Jackie?
Yes. Tony, I'm Nurse Jackie.
I'm stealing all these pills. I'm Dr. House. I'm in it, too. I'm simply eating all these pills.
I'm the good doctor, and I'm a real doctor.
I'm a doctor. I'm eating all these pills, Kramer.
And now we're Seinfeld.
I'm Jerry.
And that's just how quickly Ozcast could come at you, folks. We're on the edge of a knife.
The cowardly lion. Why is he a coward? What did he do? How'd he get that moniker?
What's the next segment, Toots?
Next segment, we got another meter to do. Bimetallism meter.
Off the charts.
10 out of 10. 2 out of 2 medals. 2 out of 2 medals.
If it's great to go from a 0 on the donkey meter to a 2 out of 2 on the bimetallism meter.
This, I would say, is our best bimetallism. I would retroactively rate up steam engines.
Probably at least a 1. There's metals.
I would
in
give it.
It
a 0 on the donkey meter to the best. Yeah. Honestly, no, 1 on the donkey
one
meter.
1 on the donkey
Those
meter.
Faces looked like donkeys.
Yes.
1 on the donkey meter because of their ugliness and my hatred.
Yeah.
And then probably a 1 on the bimetal. There was metal in there.
There was a lot of metal in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there was. Well, let's think about it real quick.
The Emerald City was metal.
The metal. There was the metal of the Tin Man.
Yeah.
But then, remember, he had like a gold neck.
Whoa.
2 out of 2
on bimetallism for steam engines.
Steam engines, you're a big winner.
Shitty movie, but you got the 2 medals.
Director, come on the show. We want to talk about bimetallism with you.
You know he knows about it, too.
He's going to be like, the bimetallism? You guys got that? Oh, my God.
He's
finally someone who gets
you
me.
You guys can't see, but Dylan's shaking vigorously. All right, what's the next segment?
We could do a couple of Osmonds, a couple of reviews real quick.
Yeah, let's look at some of these Goodreads reviews.
Jay's Review, 2011. The whole trip to the China village was pointless. Meet him, freaking Marco Polo, am I right?
But he brought back the noodles.
He did. He said, spaghetti!
Dorothy brought back shit.
I almost never, ever like movies better than books, but believe me, the movie is head and shoulders above this book. Baum was wretched as a writer of any kind of action. Just grow up, man. Movie's better, but it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, I'm going to read... This is a very long review. I'm only going to read some of it because it's very long. But Gregoire Mauvis gave it 2 stars, and he has his head firmly up his asshole. I want you to just listen to the language he uses in this. Ah, indeed, the classic in question. Allow me to provide a candid appraisal, for honesty and critique is as essential as praise. Regrettably, I must confess that my reception of this venerable work was not altogether favorable. Despite an initial intrigue sparked by the narrative's outset, I found myself increasingly disillusioned as I progressed through its pages. What led to this disenchantment, you may wonder? Simply put, the narrative's reliance on inexplicable plot devices and unresolved elements left me perplexed.
Simply perplexed?
There seems to be a dearth of substantive explanation for the curious occurrences littered throughout the tale.
This guy is a Megamind. This guy... I don't know. Do yourself a favor. If you're a big Captain America head, you might be aware of the famous Captain America villain, the Leader.
Yeah.
Definitely not a Hulk villain. But he has a big, big head. That's this guy's head. Do yourself a favor. Look up a picture of the Leader. Look at that guy's big head. Yeah. That's this guy writing this.
Gregor Mauvis, that's you.
That's you.
You're the Leader from Captain America.
I've got a review from Eric that says, "This is child abuse. 1 star.
Huh.
Well,
so Dorothy's not real.
I don't know if he meant him reading this as a child, but we got a review here from Megan. Oh, Megan. OMG. What a useless effing book. Frank Baum just sucks as a storyteller.
God, people are coming for Frank.
Don't come for Frankie. Oh, I got another one coming for Frank from a nude. This story by itself was a lovely children's story. The 1 star is for L. Frank Baum's genocidal articles against the natives I just read.
What?
Separate the author from the work if you want, but leave me out of it.
What happened?
I don't know about that.
L. Frank Baum wanted to genocide the natives?
This book is not about that. This book is about bimetallism.
I was going to say, I think I've come across a similar review. I believe this person thinks they're reviewing something else. It says 1 star, a character assassination focusing on Baum's shortcomings, intent on using a lens of modern political correctness and wokeness to denigrate his character and hold him to 21st century mores. This is a sad and dark portrayal of a talented man who worked hard and left us something special. I have no idea what Robert Duncan Carlyle is talking about. I can only assume he read some, article that was L. Frank Baum was racist.
All right, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for his racial views.
Okay.
He wrote 2 articles asserting that the safety of American settlers depended on the wholesale genocide of Native Americans.
Uh-oh.
That is not good. But there's, it's unclear. They said that Baum might have been using sarcasm. It's been debated. Was he writing a sarcastic article being like we need to do genocide?
That's sarcastically? What's that guy's name? Oliver Swift. There was some
Swift, yeah,
who has that A Modest Proposal where he's like, we should eat Irish babies. It's a famous satirical thing.
Yeah, well, interesting because...
Here's a review from Sky
They're saying
Smith.
That this is against what he would normally do. Huh. He published a piece earlier that criticized the idea that we should fear Native Americans.
Okay.
So,
it's probably not.
But, I don't know. This article's from 135 years ago. I genuinely am just I don't know.
I don't know. Frankly, I don't care either.
I feel like he was more concerned with bimetallism.
Yeah. Here's a review from Sky Smith that is almost incomprehensible. 1 star, it doesn't have the shoes where you click them and it shows a tornado and it makes your screen black and white and is cool, and it does not have an add it please, because if you don't, I'm never watching your show again and I'm a girl and don't ask or call me or else. So that was a review of the book Wizard of Oz. I don't know what she means.
Interesting. I've got a review here, 1 star from Mar. The review just says 1.5.
Well, why didn't he give it 1? Can you not do a point?
I don't know. I don't know. Last one we should read, and then we're going
to
move on.
Oh, here's this guy, Armenia Joe, is saying something similar to what you said about Scarecrow and populism. It's a good book, but some of the parts I don't get because the Scarecrow doesn't have a brain but had most of the ideas, and TBH, it's not my favorite book.
That's the point. That's the point. The whole point is the Scarecrow is stupid, but he's actually giving off... He doesn't realize his intelligence. That's like what the wizard tells him. The wizard stuffs him full of like cotton and bran, and then he's like, I'm smart now. I know everything. And he is the... Fucking a child wrote that.
I believe a child or just a very, very dumb old person wrote almost all of these reviews. All
right, last one I want to read. The whole shitty plot is only possible because every single character is a dump, ignorant bitch.
Tin Man's a bitch.
Tin Man, you're a dump. Doesn't say dumb, says dump, ignorant bitch. Get roasted, Tin Man. Get roasted by Osmonds.
So that concludes Osmonds. That was a good segment.
We got a new
Osmonds.
Segment. Oh, we have to prep for Osmonds. That's what I think of we realized. Yeah.
That was a good Osmonds.
Yeah, we got a new segment coming.
Yep. So this is a segment I'm calling Smut or What?
Oh, my word.
As we've covered, there is a lot of people that are horny for Oz for some reason. So I've gathered some erotic fan fictions I found.
Oh.
Two of them are real.
No.
And one of them is my own creation that doesn't exist.
Oh, I gotta guess.
Dylan is
it's a game.
Dylan is gonna have to guess which one is fake. And if he wins, I guess he gets an... I don't know. We have to figure out the stakes for what he gets if he wins.
I'll get a prize.
If he wins, I won't read them to him after we finish airing.
Oh, God.
And if he loses, we have to read one after we finish airing. Okay, so the first one is titled Scarecrow's First Time. This one is told through the inner monologue of Scarecrow. Shortly after they meet the Tin Man, Dorothy sets up camp and falls asleep. As she's asleep, Scarecrow and Tin Man have hot gay sex as Dorothy is asleep next to them. Scarecrow isn't content with the mere pleasures of the flesh given to him after Tin Man blows his Scarecrow member, as they call it. They say that it's a floppy sack of hay. So Scarecrow asks Tin Man to light him on fire and let him die in a blaze of sexual ecstasy. Tin Man obliges Scarecrow's request and shoves a torch up Scarecrow's ass, killing him instantly.
Keep in mind, Scarecrow is one day old.
So that was Scarecrow's first time.
I didn't know there'd be descriptions. I thought I'd have to guess.
Oh, no. You get the descriptions. This is pregnant in Oz, question mark? Years after the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy attempts to convince her boyfriend, Damal, a street tough from the ghetto of New York, that Oz and her experiences there were real. After a tornado rolls in and transports the two of them back to Oz, the two, for some reason, begin having sex after Damal pulls Dorothy's boobs out of her shirt. Weeks pass, and Dorothy and Damal are apparently living in Oz. Dorothy feels ill and heads to the pharmacy and sees her old friend, the Scarecrow. Scarecrow questions why she would be romantically involved with someone outside of her race, and Dorothy uses a pregnancy test and bemoans that Damal has knocked her up. The end. The last one is called The Tin Man's Wish.
Tin Man's Wish.
Rather than asking for a heart, Tin Man asked the wizard for a penis. Due to the ever-erect state of his tin member, he is in constant need of lubrication, which he gets not from his can of oil, but from the sexual fluids of Oz's most desirable maidens. The story follows Tin Man as he ventures across Oz in a quest to have sex with the witches of the North, South, West, and East to use their magical pussy fluids to prevent him from ever rusting again. So which one of those do you think
made up? Two are real and one is fake.
Two are real, one is
I
fake.
I think the middle one, pregnant in Oz, is real. Okay. I think the way, the kind of shoddy nature of fanfic that I know and smut like that is like, he pulls her boobs out, 2 weeks pass. I'm like, yeah, that happens in fanfic sometimes. I think it's either the first one or the third one. The first one is so detailed that I think you had more fun writing it. But the third one has the line magical pussy juice, which I think you also had more fun writing. But I think that might have been something that somebody else came up with, and you phrased it that way. So I'm going to go with the one that you came up with is the first one, Scarecrow's first time.
Unfortunately, you are wrong.
Oh.
I came up with the Tin Man's Wish.
Oh.
Which means we're going to have to read Pregnant in Oz, because it is by far the worst one. It gets racist. It's very weird. We're going to read that off the air.
And on the Patreon.
And on the Patreon. Because Dylan has lost the first segment, the first episode of Smut or What.
That's Smut or What. I like this new segment. All right. Well, first, for a lighter note, I'm broken. That was the new segment, Smut or What. Now we're going to go to an old classic, Fortune Cookie. And we even have a song for the Fortune Cookie segment.
Oh, it's me. I have to say it.
Well, I'll put it in.
Oh, okay. So you just looked at me and stopped talking.
Should we do one or two?
Hey, let's live a little. Let's do two. It's a big episode.
We've got a lot of fortune cookies now, so we're cracking them. Fortune cookies.
These ones are glistening.
They're good. I might eat this.
I mean, I am going to eat. You haven't been eating them?
No, I've been throwing them away. I don't like fortune cookies.
I don't either, but I'm still
eating. And
there's
two sides to it. So this is your day to call the shots, so you should. You know what that sounds like to me? Mr. Scarecrow running the Emerald City. He was just like, I'm an idiot, but make me king. That's what all of them do, actually. Yeah. They're all like, whatever, we're kings now. We're calling the shots.
Mine says, you will find what you search for already in your hand.
Oh, really? Really?
Well, what's in my hand right now is a fortune. But if I was Dorothy, what's in my hand would be a basket.
My basket.
My grateful basket.
And my doggy in my basket.
Yeah.
The other day when I was at work, I had to move some baskets. And I had a red hoodie on. And I was moving a basket. And my friend Fritz was like, Little Red Riding Hood over here.
Dude, he got your ass.
And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, did like a little tra-la-la thing. And he was like, I'm sorry, I had to get you. And I was like, nah, Fritz, like, it's funny. It's okay.
I'm sorry. He had to zing you with that burn.
Zing.
Classic Fritz zinger.
I was like, Fritz, you're the best. You're the best. But, okay. We have one more segment. Our final segment.
The long-awaited.
We've been getting letters, by the way.
Yeah.
Countless letters saying, oh, I'm an Oz freak. I love Oz. Big shout out to all my Oz freaks out there. Yeah. I love you. This is our segment. Wickedly talented performance.
The wickedly talented performances of the week.
What are they going to be? Are they going to be of the time?
No, almost certainly.
Never, ever. Although sometimes.
The first time they were pretty current.
Yeah. Not but anymore.
This episode they are not.
We're going way back.
I started last week, so you can go this week.
Alright, let me chew this fortune cookie up. My wickedly talented performance of this week, I gotta give it to a classic, Mike Myers. In The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Do I make you Randy, baby?
Oh, behave. And look, I don't know if this is taking... It's my show, so I get to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
But look, he plays three roles. He plays Dr. Evil, Mike, Austin Powers, Austin and Fat Bastard.
And Fat Bastard.
They're you can't do that these days.
No. The last guy who tried it was Eddie Murphy in Norbit.
Yeah. I just watched a movie, The Monkey, where... whatever his name is, like Toby Kebbell. No, it's not Toby Kebbell.
Toby Kebbell.
No, I don't think it's him. I think it's another guy. I think it's Guy Pearce. It's not Guy Pearce. Theo James. It's Theo James. Okay. I got it. He plays twins. But in this, he's not playing twins. He's playing his arch nemesis and a fat bastard. And it's great.
You know, I know a lot about movies, and still when I watch a movie and they have the same actor on screen twice, I still don't know how it works.
I can show you. I've done it like
I've had it explained to me. I just refuse.
I'll just show you like how to do it in the computer because I do it. Like I do. I've done it with me. And
I would want nothing less.
All right. Yeah. Little peek behind the curtain. I.e. the wizard. But yeah, that's my Wicked. He's funny. He's really funny. It was a funny movie.
Is that your first time watching?
First time watching Spy Who Shagged Me.
Oh wow!
Seen the first one, and but I've never seen the second one.
Those are instrumental films of my childhood.
For lots of people, they are. For me, they weren't. But I'm like, I'm happy I'm getting to them. Yeah. You know,
they're fun. They're fun. Third one has Beyonce.
Gold member also has Tommy Cruise.
Yes,
that's what we call him. Sure. Tommy Cruise.
Tommy Gold member Cruise.
Spielberg's in it.
Yeah.
That's good to connect to if you're playing that movie battle game.
Don't tell them about the game.
I'll cut this out. I can't know.
All right. My wickedly talented performance of the week. Sorry, guys. I kind of dropped the ball this week. I've only watched one movie in the past week. So, unfortunately, by default, it has to go to Ray Wise in Swamp Thing. Wes Craven's Swamp Thing. It is not a good movie. Ray Wise does not do a particularly great performance of Swamp Thing.
Not even a good Swamp Thing movie, is
no,
it?
No, not at all.
If you're looking for a good Swamp Thing movie, I might check out the movie Dog Man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Swamp Thing in a couple of ways. A little bit.
Does Dog Man want to kill himself?
No, but I mean, to talk about Dog Man a little bit, because I did see it and I really liked it.
Yeah, go ahead. Swamp Thing sucks. Go ahead. Talk about Dog Man.
Dog Man gets... he's a guy and a dog, and then the guy, his head gets damaged, and the dog's body gets damaged, and they combine them to make one being, the Dog Man.
Okay.
And he's like a new creature, and it's kind of like in the Swamp Thing comics, if you read them, how Swamp Thing like thinks he's Alec Holland for a long time, and then he's like, oh wait, I'm Swamp Thing. I have the memories of this guy, but I'm like a new thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I read the Alan Moore one.
Yeah, they're right over there, too.
Hey,
we got a big comic
show. Don't watch Swamp Thing, the movie. Read Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run.
And do yourself a favor, read the book Bone, too, by Jeff Smith.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
We're doing Rex.
And I'm horny.
All right.
For Swamp Thing.
I bet there are people who are like, I want to fuck Swamp
Thing. Oh, absolutely. He's got tendrils. He's got tentacles.
Oh, and ew. Shit. Ew, he's so mossy.
He's probably full of goo and stuff. And
dude, I saw this great picture from like an 80s like swimsuit issue of Marvel.
Okay.
Where it was like a letter. Somebody wrote in, like this woman. She was like, next Marvel swimsuit issue, I want to see Thor nude.
Hey. Salute to her. Cheers to her. And on that note...
Wait. I found it immediately. Let me read it.
All right, yeah, read it.
Dear Marvel, I just saw your issue of Marvel Swimsuit Special 1994. It was very cool because it was 50-50 male-female. For once, someone was fair. It's usually 98% female. I am a black female, late 20s. I want to see Thor nude! The Dan Panosian Tom Smith picture didn't do him justice. In fact, 60% of all Thor pictures don't do him justice. Thor is truly a godsend. Please draw him much more handsome and nude in next year's issue. Thank you. That's from Letra Bledsoe.
She kind of led the way for that comic where you see Batman's penis.
Yeah, Batman dong.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of love that. That's from 94. That fucking, we stan you, Letra.
Yeah. Oh, is that her name? Shout out, Letra.
Thank you. Special thanks to Shemp, as always.
As always, Shemp.
Our producer, Carlos the Great and Powerful. We'll get him eventually.
We'll get him on the pod eventually.
We'll get him eventually. Another big special thanks to...
Thank you, Lorne.
Thank you, Lorne, for letting us do this. Lorne Frank Baum.
That's what the L stands for.
The L is for Lorne.
Lorne Michaels Frank Baum. It's one word.
Lorne Michaels Frank Baum. Special thank you to...
RFK, brought back Tallow.
Tallow's back! And as always, live from New York,
it's
Ozcast! With Dylan and Andre, and don't you fucking forget it!
Sorry.